Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Also is now hosting, I guess, his own site, Pre-Market Prep, that I will be posting a link to below. That's where you can stay up to date on all the pre-market news and all of Joel's comments day after day pre-market. Joel, let's start off with U.S. equity markets. Bit of a pullback today. Nothing to write home about yet. However, the NASDAQ is down about 1.5%. The Dow and the S&P right around, let's say, 0.5%. So a little bit of weakness again today. And today, it's a big day for earnings, especially for big tech. Today and tomorrow, we have some of the major tech companies coming out with their earnings. I know these earnings reports largely get ignored, except for the forward guidance that a lot of these companies are giving. But I think the big tech earnings, they are noteworthy because big tech has really been the supporter and driver in this environment where these markets have continued to grind to these new all-time highs. Joel, what's your takeaway from the earnings that are coming out today and tomorrow, and the schizophrenic market, again, back and forth, up, down, but today it's just a little bit down?
Thanks for having me, Corey. Overall, I mean, you're just having a rough day in the markets. A lot of these earnings stocks have had nice pre-earnings runs. Just a lot of companies reporting today, and my producer on the pre-market prep show had a statistic that, you know, the last time that you had, you know, the top five of the six top components all reporting in the same week, I don't know what the results were, but, you know, the market ended up down for those weeks. And I think yesterday you had a rally to new all-time highs. It was all just done, you know, late in the day. And it wasn't a really well-rounded rally. So there's always rotation in the market, and it seems like the rotation had been buying the tech stocks, you know, ahead of the earnings runs. Now it's just taking a little bit of, you know, money off the table. It's really not flowing in anything else. It's not, you know, I see some of the financials up today, but it's one of those rotations where it's out of the stocks and, you know, into the treasuries, into safer investments, heading into what historically some last weeks of the month are historically strong, not so much for the month of July. And then the old theory that everyone's gone in August and taking their vacations and stuff. So a couple different things contributing to the weakness in today's market.
So, Joel, it really seems like still the black cloud maybe hanging over the market is the COVID variants and how cases have started to tick up again. It's not clearly drawing the market down, but you do get these articles over and over again, and it's almost a replay of what we were seeing over the last year, almost year and a half now. How big of a deal is this COVID variant in your eyes to potentially another drastic market pullback?
I think that, you know, the market's subject to headlines, and when some of those headlines today hit the tape, you saw some major selling going on. And this is kind of just, this reminds me of the scenario last January and February, where it was out there. You know, the COVID virus was out there. We didn't know what the effect it could be, but the market just shrugged it off. Until eventually it got to the point where, when we went into lockdowns and you can no longer shrug it off. So market's very sensitive to headlines. This variant is affecting people and it's having an effect on the market. So I don't know. You know, you guys are always asking me, you know, is this the turn? You know, this feels more like a turn, you know, than the other times, because, yes, you are in the earnings season. In the financial sector, the earnings pops were sold and they haven't really recovered. These tech stocks have been racing in the new all-time highs, just getting the feeling that investors don't want to stick around for the actual reports, and they're taking the chips off the table today.
Yeah, Joel, it's an interesting market in that there doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement in any direction in any of the markets. And what's been leading the sector has been the big tech, and that's what's been leading some of the big indexes as well. But I think that as we see this reemergence of the different variants from the COVID and the potential of shutdowns in the same time as we're having this earnings season, at the same time as we're going to hear from the Fed again this week. It seems like a lot of the same news that's been recycling for months now. And I think that you hit the nail on the head earlier in this discussion when you said, I think a lot of people are just parking their money in cash, in the dollar, and in bonds as they wait for their next trade to, you know, maybe closer to the late summer, beginning of fall. So is there any sectors that have your eye as moving that people aren't really paying attention to that maybe have some potential to garner some of those cash flows when things improve?
No. Really? Okay. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, it just like it seems like it always seems like there's this rotation, you know, small cap or value, whatever. But what this move feels like is that it's selling, taking profits, and moving to cash. I mean, honestly, so if you want to go, you know, if you want to go that route, I mean, I know I'm taking some heat on, you know, these stocks, something like an AT&T or a Verizon. I mean, people are still going to be using their cell phones, you know, the utilities. If you're not really worried about the interest rate, utilities have been showing some strength as of late. I've been looking just for things with yield, you know, and not trying to give up, you know, too much on the downside. So I just go the most conservative, you know, boring stuff you can find that, you know, that pays a dividend. And, you know, something like the PFF is a, you know, publicly, you know, traded ETF that tracks preferred stocks. So, you know, I've always looked at the you know, had the approach of 5 to 10%. Or, you know, is good, you know, is good enough for me. And now in this environment you have, I think other people are starting to wake up and see, hey, those returns are, you know, are reasonable. And that's what you can get out of your portfolio over the long term. These moves that you've had in AMC and some of these meme stocks, they're unusual and they happen. But more times than not, you know, they don't. You know, most people that are in them, if they don't take their profits, they end up regretting it.
Well, what about unusual profits in places like the cryptocurrencies, Joel? You know, what do you think about Bitcoin's recent reversal? We had a little bit of banter from Elon Musk saying that he was going to start taking payments again with Tesla, and that he may start buying, and we've seen a little bit of action on the Amazon news. What's your take on the recent bump in the cryptos?
You know, everyone was waiting for Bitcoin to, you know, take out that low of the move, you know, and take out 29 and go to 20 grand, be included. You came down at the end of last week. You had the event. You had Jack Dorsey, Cathie Wood, and Elon Musk all saying the right things, right? It was tight. It was compacted. You came down to the low, and you didn't take out the low. Something I probably have mentioned over the years, Bitcoin does make some big moves over the weekend, a little bit less liquidity. The futures markets aren't open. You get a rumor, you know, that you did, that Amazon was looking into crypto, and that's all you need. So I've been looking at, you know, the trading range in crypto from, you know, 29,000 up to 41,000. And you just happen to get it all in one day. And that's nowhere near back half of the decline it had from 60K down to 29K. But, you know, now Amazon comes out. We have no immediate plans. It's given back some of the gains, but not a lot. So I just think it was the perfect storm as it just was consolidating near the lows of the move. Couldn't take out the low of the move, and then people went from buying on weakness to having to buy on strength. And still will be keeping a real close eye on that $41,000 level to see if we can get back up, you know, at least take back half of that move. That would be 47, 48. But for right now, trading range in Bitcoin, and it just hit the upper end of that trading range.
Yeah, there's a lot of things trading in ranges right now, isn't there, Joel? And Bitcoin is just another one of those. However, Bitcoin's range is substantially higher and wider than a lot of these other markets. I do want to shift focus just a little bit into China and what China's been doing to some of their own companies, putting different restrictions on them, really going after different companies, even Alibaba and the financials company. China's been in the news more recently over the last few months for hurting their own companies than helping. Any idea what the strategy might be here, if there is a larger aspect of play here for something that could even hit U.S. markets?
I want to be careful with my comments here, but you know, they have a plan, you know, and they what's going on right now, and we're all looking at in the now and trying to figure out what's going on. But I think that, you know, whereas we have elections every 2 years and every 4 years, changes in government, changes in Congress, you don't have a consistent long-term plan. And I think they have a long-term plan. And I think that this is what is going on now is fitting into a longer-term plan they have. I don't know exactly what it is, and I don't want to postulate what it is. But they are, what they're doing is they're, you know, becoming more internal and relying on themselves and less on the U.S., the U.S. markets. And, you know, whether or not they need us for certain reasons, maybe they feel that these companies have had, you know, being traded on the U.S. exchanges, have attracted a lot of U.S. investors. And, it's less percentage of those stock owns is by outside investors, you know, foreign investors, as opposed to Chinese investors. So, so they're doing what they can to, you know, continue moving up the world power ladder.
Well, Joel, just on this topic of China and what they're doing in the markets, it seems like I've read a couple articles out that a lot of it's based on how they're doing their regulation, which also impacted the way they were looking at the cryptos, but especially that the Chinese stock markets have been in free fall, you know, a couple of times in the last few weeks. And it seems like a lot of that is they're stepping up their regulation. Do you think they're doing that because they want to be more respected on the world stage and they want to have a better reputation after showing, hey, we're doing this legit with all these companies? Or do you think that they didn't realize the effect they were going to have and that they've accidentally tanked their own markets?
Like I said, I want to be guarded on my comments here, but I think I have to agree with your first comment as opposed to the second one.
So, Joel, big picture then, when we talk about the general health of markets.
You guys are giving me old doomsday. I'm trying not to be doomsday. We're at all-time highs, guys. What's going on? What are we all worried about?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Joel. Why does there seem to be this underlying fear in these markets when the markets maybe go through one, maximum 2 days of red and then immediately get bought back? I realize breath is weak, but there seems to be a lot of negativity out there for these markets that just consistently grind higher and largely ignore the news.
The market wants to inflict the most amount of pain on people the most amount of time. And if you've been sitting in cash or you haven't been participating in the rally, you know, the pain's being inflicted on you. Now, today, I mean, look at it, guys. We're 36, you know, points away from an all-time high that was made yesterday. So if things are reversing, if the Fed is going to do something, there's plenty of times to at least from this perspective, to exit and protect yourself. It just seems like selling into weakness just hasn't been the recipe for a winning portfolio. And I think that last March just exemplified that.
Would you be adding here then?
No, I'm not adding. No way. No way, I'm not adding. And young guys like Corey, it's a different thing, but no, I mean, very few selective stocks, looking for yield, stocks with dividends, boring stuff. That's what I'm buying.
Okay. Joel, we'll wrap it up here. Not much more to cover on these markets. I know a lot of eyes are going to be on the Fed and what Jerome Powell has to say at the press conference later this week. But quite frankly, I don't know. It seems like we are still just stuck in summer trading, and this weakness, even that we're seeing today, odds are it's going to be bought right back. But again, who knows how long this market is going to continue this kind of euphoric uptrend. Almost boring in a sense as well. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. As I mentioned, I will post a link to your pre-market prep website, and we'll chat again next week. Thanks for your time, Joel.
Yeah, one last thing. August 21st, my partner Dennis Dick and I, who's a very active day swing trader and also has a CFA, we're going to be doing an educational event on Saturday, August 21st. Just trying to do something where the markets aren't open and we can give our full attention to what investors and traders want to learn. So go to premarketprep.com, sign up for that, and it's going to be one of the best educational events in stock market history, coming from one of the best podcasts, financial podcasts, Ben Zinga's Pre-Market Prep. So there's my shameless plug. We'll talk to you guys next week.
There you go. Thanks, Joel. I'll post a link so everyone can sign up. Have a great rest of your week, Joel.